It's time for Science Spotlight. We haven't had them recently. We've had a little bit of a break, but we are back with a big one. Science Spotlight is the point of the show where we take a look at scientific breakthroughs, be they big discoveries or smaller niche projects. And this week's topic is probably one of the biggest of the century. In the last few days, NASA has revealed the first ever color images from the storied James Webb Space Telescope. And can I say, they are spectacular. You might have seen them. I saw them floating around a couple of other news outlets throughout the week. Now, we have former Thursday Daily Science geek Cameron Furlong with us today because he is particularly excited about it. Cameron, how are you?
I'm great, Willie. Thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Okay, let's get into it. What is the James Webb Space Telescope and what has its journey been like to get to where it is?
Yes, well, it has been very, very storied, as you mentioned. So it launched at Christmas last year on Christmas Day. So big, big Christmas present for all space fans out there. But it's been in development for like 20 years or something. Started in the 90s, went through just absolute... every year, just more delays, more budget blowouts. And it was like it was never going to be released, never going to be launched. I remember, you know, being in astronomy classes in university and in high school, just before university, and learning about the idea of the James Webb Space Telescope. But every year, we'd be saying, yeah, it's going to be launching in 5 years, every year.
And it's like, just maybe one more year. Maybe one more year.
Yeah, it'll be launched maybe. You never know. And, you know, it became a thing where it's like, yeah, they're never going to launch the James Webb Space Telescope.
And so where did they launch it to?
They've launched it to this sort of... this point in space where it's sort of in an equilibrium, sitting in this, like, imagine like a gravity well between the sun and the earth where it's not going to move.
Okay.
So that means that sun's shield can always be protecting it from the sun and the heat from the sun because it's got some really sensitive infrared detectors.
Right.
So if it was getting bombarded with the sun's energy, it would just throw the whole thing out. So it's going to be sitting there for theoretically ever.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Theoretically ever. And okay, the pictures that are out there, and we're obviously going to put them up on our website when we post the story. What exactly are we looking at in these pictures?
Okay. So the first one that they released is kind of like an homage to Hubble's first deep field one, where they just pointed it at a point in the sky and let it look at it for a couple of weeks. That was what they did with Hubble. They did the same thing with James Webb Space Telescope. They pointed it at a point in the sky that's no bigger than a grain of sand being held at an arm's length. And it just took, and after 12 and a half hours, took an incredible looking image of this, like these galaxies that are billions of light years away, looking back in time like 4 billion years, you know, how light works in the universe because it's something 4 billion years away. It's probably about that. That's how we're looking at it 4 billion years ago. And it's just incredible. It's fantastic. And that's the main thing that's sort of blowing my mind is it's taken a much more detailed image of deep space than Hubble did in a fraction of the time. So Hubble took a week to get the image that it did. And then James Webb did a much higher detail image with much more infrared detail because has more sensitive infrared detectors in 12 hours.
Oh my God. Okay. So when you like in 12 hours, so as in it took the photo, like it took it 12 hours to take the photo and communicate that back
and
to
process
us?
It and send it back.
Okay. Are there people on the telescope or is the telescope just a thing by itself?
It's just
there?
A thing by itself.
Okay.
And imagine being like, it
I don't know if that was a really stupid question.
I should mention it's 1.5 million kilometers away from Earth at the moment. So it's not particularly serviceable. And that was a whole other thing. Once it's there, it's there. We can't really... Something breaks.
It's not coming back.
Something breaks.
Yeah. Can't turn it on and off again.
No.
Okay.
You can't send IT up to solder a wire back down or something. No,
Okay. And so, why did they choose those particular objects or images to kind of capture?
So the deep field one... they chose that because it was also being aided by sort of this gravitational lensing from a galaxy cluster. So it sort of made things behind it sort of magnified a bit more. They also did another one of a nebula, which is like the... Hang on, I'm trying to get this picture open.
The word nebula makes me think of nubbin, which is like your third nipple, but I'm guessing it's much more exciting than a third nipple. Although a third nipple could be quite exciting.
Very exciting.
Oh, okay, a nebula. Tell me, wait. You need to like treat me like I don't know what a nebula is, because I don't.
Yeah, so it's like a little nursery for baby stars.
Okay.
So it's this area of gas and dust that, you know, as a result of, like, you know, pressure changes from an old star exploding, creates little like a points of star creation as dust and gas are clumped together and form a star. And so because Webb has these really high sensitivity infrared detectors, it can actually look through the dust.
Oh,
so we can't, the visible light can't go through this dust because it's just blocking the path, but it doesn't block infrared light, which the web can capture, and you can see like all these little stars dotting. It's called the Carina Nebula, one of my favorite nebulas.
Why is it your favorite?
I just like the colors.
Okay.
It's just cool.
So different nebulas can be different colors.
Yeah. So okay. a lot of the times it's like colors can also be just put in like processing to help differentiate, but also it also has some what actually is. So sometimes gas might be at a different temperature and glowing at a different wavelength, like going at a different wavelength. The light it's giving off is at a different wavelength. So you can sort of translate that into color.
Okay.
And so yeah, that's kind of where a lot of the color comes from in stars and gas and stuff.
Okay, cool. And so what's next from here? Like, so we've got these amazing images. What does science do next?
What does science do next? As representative of science at the moment.
Thank you.
We're going to have a little party, I think.
Crack out the champagne.
Yeah, that's right. But also they're going to look at some exoplanets, so see what's going on at planets on stars far, far away. They just actually looked at one and they found water on it. So they, through just chemical signatures and an analysis of the planet around the star, they've seen there's water there. You know, doing longer exposures of deep field to look even further back in time and back into the very start of our galaxy, and just taking more wallpapers. I saw something that said the James Webb Space Telescope is the most expensive desktop wallpaper generator ever made.
I feel kind of like we're the peeping Toms of the universe.
Yeah.
We're kind of just flitting around now, taking pictures, wondering what we're going to see.
Yeah.
I love it.
We're cosmic voyeurs.
We are totally cosmic voyeurs. Cameron Furlong, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for speaking on behalf of science
this
morning. And look forward to hearing how the next lot of shots go.
Yeah, thank you.